Auburn lands another big interior defensive lineman, but how does that affect him with Carlos May?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Dadgum Monday. We're ready to get this thing kicked off right. Last night was really fun with the Barncast. We're going to kind of piggyback off of the Nate Comba commitment, because one of the biggest questions I've been asked is, how does this affect Carlos May? I mean, it's kind of out of the blue, sort of. Does that mean we're not going to get him? Does that mean this? Does that mean that? We'll break that down here in just a second. We're going to talk about this week, what's on deck and what could be added to the class, and then some things you may start seeing for the future. We'll talk about that, and I'll give you some Jackson Coivin updates. He signed a big apparel deal, when he makes his first start as a pro, all that good stuff. But let's jump right into it. Again, one of the biggest questions over the weekend, even after the Nate Comba decision, it was like, man, we're fired up. We just got another four-star defensive lineman. But, man, does this mean anything with Carlos May? And I think the answer is a resounding no. It means absolutely nothing from the standpoint of Auburn took Nate Comba because you weren't going to get Carlos May. That is not the case. If you look at it just from a positional standpoint, even in his exit interviews, Nate Comba mentioned he was going to be more of a three technique, which could actually, you know, that's that defensive tackle, not the true nose. And again, what they say and then what they become are two different things typically, but he's looks like he's being penciled in to not necessarily be a true nose tackle. That's what Carlos May is going to be. And you can look at their body types and kind of see that that's probably the case. Nate Comba, 6'4", somewhere between 290 and 300 pounds. And then you got Carlos May at 6', 6'5", 6'1", 330 pounds, which is more of that lower center of gravity, wide body that just can take up, you know, multiple blocks and actually be a two-gap responsibility type defensive tackle. So from a positional standpoint, honestly, this may, and I'm saying this, it doesn't, but like this would be in more conflict with Donovan Moore than it would be with Carlos May. There is no conflict there, but they're kind of similar. Donovan Moore is a little bit leaner, so I could see him maybe even sliding out a little bit, maybe even playing, you know, five or like the Keldrick Falk type role, particularly if it's like a run heavy or, bigger sets. Or he's just so athletic, he could maybe just be, a strong side defensive end. Regardless, from a position standpoint, these don't jive. Auburn wants to take up a bunch of defensive linemen anyway in this class. They really liked Nate Comba, and I do think it came kind of out of the blue. He's only been to Auburn three times, and you know it was very similar to Reed Ramsire, where he drops the top two, and it's Auburn and South Carolina, and you're kind of like, man, I didn't even realize it was like that. You know, I didn't even realize it was Auburn was that close, and I think everybody kind of just auto-assumed South Carolina was the location. I think South Carolina even thought South Carolina was the location. There was a really funny thread on their board, and I wish I would have clipped it and put it on here for you to see. But essentially, it was a thread that was commentating on Nate's exit quotes, and it was like, well, he just said he likes Auburn, very, very basic stuff. That makes me feel like South Carolina is definitely the leader. And then he commits, and then one of the actual staff members says, and he just committed to Auburn. So that was kind of funny. But let's pivot back to, it, again, it did kind of come out of the blue, but I don't think it means anything as far as Carlos May from a positional standpoint. And then, look, Carlos came in Thursday night, and I actually went to Auburn University Club Friday morning, had a tea time, was going to play golf Friday morning, and they had a recruiting breakfast going on. I had no idea. I promise you, I didn't go there to stalk. They're having a recruiting breakfast going on. I think Carlos May and maybe only one other person was there as far as recruits go. Every freaking staff member on staff was there. I'm talking coaches. I'm talking support staff. I'm talking everybody. A fleet of Wagoneers just came pulling in as they were leaving. And then apparently I think Golish has a Cybertruck. So he you know, he leaves along with that huge fleet. So, like, they're pulling out all the stops. There doesn't change anything. Carlos May is a priority. Carlos May is a priority for DJ Durkin. Carlos May is a priority for Vontrell King Williams. He said that, I think, after this visit, he's got a final four. I don't believe it's four. I think it's Auburn and Georgia. And I tell you, as recruiting evolves and you learn more and more and you see more and more about how agents work and how NIL works, it really becomes easier to kind of understand what's going on behind the scenes. You put out a later commitment date than a lot of others, August 11th, okay? You take every single one of your visits, every single one of them. And then anytime there starts to be a perception that there's a leader, you have to do things to then, I don't want to say throw people off, but you have to do things to kind of keep it interesting. And you're doing this because you're getting guidance from an agent who's supposedly got your best interest in mind. And depending on how you look at it, I think he's probably done a pretty good job. It's probably been aggravating at times, but he's probably done a pretty good job. Like, for example, he goes to Georgia last weekend. Georgia's been in the picture, but have they really been that much in the picture? And I'm going to try to read the quote that he says. He goes, this is when he's leaving his visit from Georgia. He says, I'm just going to be honest. They're in the number one spot right now, and you can publicize that. As a matter of fact, put emphasis on that. They're the number one spot right now. So that was very intentional to put that out there, that Georgia was number one. Why? Because he's coming to Auburn next week. And then, hey, I got an Ohio State visit coming up, so I definitely don't want to say it's Auburn and Georgia before I go to my Ohio State visit. So what do I say? Hey, it's all, I got a Final Four, and it's Auburn, Georgia, Ohio State, and Florida State. That's going to probably rub some people the wrong way. It just kind of is what it is. I get it from your perspective. But I understand their perspective as well. It's like, hey, the name of this game is leverage. I couldn't quite get that out. But the name of the game right now from the recruit standpoint is leverage. I got to have leverage. Okay. If I have leverage, then I can maximize my financial value. That's pretty much it. Auburn now is in a position, though, when you add Nate Komba, who is penciled in to be a three, but could easily be, he's a big boy, man. He could easily be a true nose. Probably not. I mean, it would take some work on his standpoint. From his standpoint, it would take some work, but I think he could be a nose. So now Auburn's got a little bit of leverage because you don't necessarily have to go crazy to land a Carlos May. And I think he knows that as well. They still are. They're still going to push hard for him. They're still going to recruit him really, really hard no matter what. This one's just different than what we've been used to the past 2 weeks. It's one that you're going to still have to battle for. You haven't been able to really close it. And one of the reasons, and I don't – state of Alabama kids are just different than a lot of the other ones. Okay? I don't want to go into too much detail, but there's some things that you can do with out-of-state kids that you can't do with in-state kids. So it makes it tougher. Now, does it mean that out-of-state schools have it easier with Alabama kids than schools from Alabama? It's just there are some things now that you can do with out-of-state kids you just can't quite do yet with in-state kids. So those are going to always be a battle. And that may be why you see Alabama was zero of the top 10 in the state of Alabama, and Auburn's only got two, trying to get three right here. Regardless, they want him. They're going to push for him. They're going to keep battling. I don't think this means anything towards Carlos May. We're going to get some more commits this week, and then something else that we need to watch for as well. We're going to talk about all of that in just a second, but before we do that, we're going to beat the dadgum heat. Gosh almighty, it was hot this weekend. It was so hot this weekend. I really hope you don't get in a bind where you're driving down the road and all of a sudden your AC goes out or it starts spitting out lukewarm air, and then you just feel like you're in a warm swimming pool inside your car. Go get your free AC evaluation, free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis. And then if there's anything wrong and it totals over $300, they're going to give you $50 off that. And then while they're doing that, if you drop it off between 7 and 9, they can change your oil for $50 as well. You cannot beat this. Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, right where two parkways collide. At the corner of Veterans Parkway and Pepperell Parkway. And while you're waiting, you can test out the bidet. Yeah, they got a dadgum bidet too. They got everything. Show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then buyauburn.com. I hope everybody enjoyed this past weekend's buyauburn.com episode with Ballard Party Rentals. There's no place better. There's no value better if you're a business owner than advertising with buyauburn.com. It's less than $1 a day. In the first year, you get 50% off. It's crazy, man. With all the things we're doing to help promote businesses, there's no better value out there. So if you're a business owner, get on board. And then if you're a shopper, these are the people you need to start doing business with. Start here. For any purchase, make sure it's not on buyauburn.com before you go elsewhere. If you're an Auburn fan, do business with Auburn people. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's talk about who's next. There's not going to be long, and we won't be able to have this conversation anymore because we're going to be full. The class is going to be full. But for now, there's still several on the board. A couple that are scheduled for right now. I'm not right now. A couple that are scheduled for this week. Let's talk about them really quick. So on Wednesday, I don't know if I've pronounced the name right yet. Zach says Nyer. I say Kenyer. Who knows? It's one of those two. Crum from Maryland, continuing the most random pipeline ever of just Maryland kids coming to Auburn. I believe he announces on Wednesday at 6. Let's see what time it is. 6 o'clock Eastern time on 247's YouTube channel. And then if things are still according to plan, James Pace will announce on June the 19th, also from Maryland. Kenyer Crum, I think Auburn loves where they are with him. Love their standing with him. Feels like that one's probably going to be Auburn on Wednesday as of right now. And then you shift over to James Pace. I believe he visited Colorado this weekend. Let's see. Visits Colorado. I believe he visited Colorado. I think it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. Yeah, he visited Colorado this past weekend. I think Colorado had really made a push for him over the last couple of weeks. So, haven't heard a ton from that visit, but barring Colorado making just a gigantic move, remember, we believe that James Pace was in the original seven Eagles. You should, if you get Kinnear Crum and you get James Pace this week, those original seven Eagles in one weekend, you would the traditional thought is all of those guys will now have been committed. So that could be really fun. It could be a really fun week of fireworks. Again, I think James Pace, that would really set your class off big time. On the composite right now on 247, which, again, I like the composites or the averages, the industry averages, because it looks at all the sites and averages them up instead of just randomly picking which one is, you know, oh, ESPN's got him higher. He's a five-star here, or ESPN's got us here, or 247, or whatever. We're seventh on the composite on 247, tenth on three. Kinnear Crum's probably not going to push the class very much. James Pace could push you a couple spots, or at least one, you would think, on maybe even both sites. So, again, he's like a top 150 player, like really, really good player. It feels like he's been in the class for a while now because we've just been kind of penciling him in. Still got to get this thing to the finish line, and got a chance to do it on Friday. So we'll see what happens. One thing to look out for, I mentioned this, on June 15th, every June 15th, and I don't know how this works, but every June 15th, you can start verbally offering the upcoming junior class. So when kids finish their sophomore year in high school and it gets to June 15th, they can receive verbal offers, nothing in writing. They can receive verbal offers to schools. So you can start, you'll start seeing, hey, class of 2028, come check in. Or you'll see a lot of coaches start, you know, talking about, you know, hey, 2028 class, you know, this, that, and the other. And you may start seeing offers go out. You may start seeing kids start to claim Auburn offers right off the bat. So don't let that be a shock. That's why it's just this point in the recruiting calendar. Now, September 1st is when you can actually start visiting them. You can start evaluating them, communicating with them, visiting. They can come visit you. And they can, I think they can actually get written offers on September 1st of their junior year. So we're already getting ready to turn the page to 2028. It's wild. But yeah, a lot of recruiting action going on. So let's see what happens this week. I'm going to shift gears to Jackson Koivin. A lot of stuff happened last week that we didn't really get to talk about. Obviously, he had the post that he put out of him signing with an apparel dealer, Malbon, who's a smaller but up-and-coming company. And Jackson is a massive get for them. I would say probably. They also have Jason Day, who's won a major, but he's kind of on – it feels like he's in a weird zone where he could be, like, getting towards the end of his career, whereas Jackson would be the hottest thing they have up and coming. I mean, you got the number one amateur in the world who is already, like, a top 50 player in the world. So when he signed that and they did that video, there was no official announcement, but that's pretty much okay. He's probably gone at the end. It showed his PGA Tour card. And then they had all the official announcements shortly thereafter. So that's kind of cool that Malbon got to announce it. And then the next question. So he's obviously not going to play here next year. He's going to go pro. So then the next questions are, okay, when does he start? Like, when does he start playing? Because it's not like, you know, football where you have to wait a long time. I know baseball, you don't have to wait necessarily that long. Basketball, you don't necessarily have to – or basketball, you'd have to wait a while. When does he start? So it's kind of tricky. So his first start, I don't want to say his first start, he's playing this weekend in the U.S. Open. He gets an auto bid to the U.S. Open, but as an amateur, if he were to declare, I guess if he were to play in the U.S. Open as a pro, he wouldn't have qualified. So he has to play as an amateur, which basically just means he can't win any prize money. If he wins, makes the cut, whatever. So he's playing this weekend as an amateur. His first pro start is going to come 2 weeks after that at the John Deere Classic. Now, I know everybody's thinking, man, that seems kind of random. Well, the thing is, he played in the John Deere Classic, I believe, last year as an amateur, because some collegiate players, high-ranking collegiate players, get some amateur starts in pro events throughout their career. He competed as an amateur last year in the John Deere Classic, and I believe he finished tied for 11th. And I think he was only three shots behind maybe making the playoff, like making it into a playoff. The John Deere Classic, it's not one of the bigger tournaments, so the thought is, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit of a lighter field, a good, like, kind of introduction, like get out there and maybe get a good finish under your belt. A lot of guys, really good players, have had like their first win there. I think Bryson DeChambeau's won. Jordan Spieth was one. I mean, that's a good, could be a good launching pad for his career. So he starts this weekend, but he's playing as an amateur. So he's not a full pro yet. And then 2 weeks after that, he's going to play in the John Deere Classic as a full PGA Tour pro. And then a lot of it after that will just depend on how he plays. I think he'll get some exemptions, but he's going to have to start getting in that cycle of accruing points and then having enough points to earn your card for the next year and so on and so forth. So I think he's going to have success pretty quickly, but I'm sure, hey, it's a big stage, man. You've been on some really big stages, but it doesn't get any bigger than the PGA Tour. So it's going to be fun, though, to cheer him on because he's as good as it gets. Guys, thank you all for listening. I can't wait. This is going to be a fun week of shows. And I tell you what, man, the content, the participation in June has been freaking phenomenal. And a lot of that, I got to give kudos to the coaching staff for getting a lot of these recruits locked in. It's made for a great month of stuff to talk about. But, man, you guys have been locked in as well, so obviously really appreciate that. Guys, y'all have a great kickoff to your week. We'll be back again very, very soon. Make sure you like and subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube subscription that we have so you can make sure you get the Village Vice after-hour show. You get Afternoon Delight every single day video version, and then you're going to get the commit breakdowns, which you should have some more this week. Appreciate it. Y'all take care. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.